Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim, and I'm here with my friend Amanda. And today we're highlighting another one of the top economic developers in the nation.
So, Tim, I understand that you had a pretty interesting interview this week. Who'd you speak with?
I had the opportunity of a lifetime. I talked to Michael Harvey. Michael's with the Northwest Arkansas Council. He's the chief operating officer there. And Michael is a guy who's just an interesting human being. He's been all over the world. He's been both in Hawaii, Japan, Okinawa, Florida, and he even spent his growing up years in Monticello, Mississippi.
Wow.
This guy's been all over the place. His heart and his passion for communities and economic development is amazing. I'm excited for everybody to hear about Michael and where his heart and his passion is. Hi, Mike. This is Tim Tarantine with Consultant Connect. I trust all is well with you. Congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. Congratulations and welcome to the call.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Well, I tell you, we want to dive right in. The listening audience wants to know about who you are and what you do. So what's one thing everyone should know about Michael Harvey?
Well, the one thing I think that a lot of my friends and colleagues are always surprised to hear when I finally kind of revealed, you know, myself to them is that I'm somewhat of an introvert. I tend to, you know, like to go home in the evenings and be with my dog and my girlfriend and kind of just gather my thoughts and draw that energy, I guess, if you will, from that process. So, you know, economic development is a very public type of profession, but and you wouldn't think an introvert would thrive in this industry, but I make my way.
Absolutely. And you've made your way, obviously, with the work you've done. We could talk for hours about kind of the topics of leadership and introverts and extroverts and how everybody can lead, but we don't have time to do that. So I will continue with the line of questioning pertinent to this conversation. I want to go back, though, and talk about kind of your genesis in this industry. How did you come to a career in economic development, or did economic development kind of choose you?
I think I actually chose economic development. I've got a really interesting backstory and how I actually ended up in this. I tell people, they're like, how did you end up doing economic development? I was like, well, you know, I was chasing a girl. And and I actually caught her. Actually, I was dating a girl in college, and she was going back to school at the same time I was going back to school. And I was undecided at that point whether it was going to be an MBA or something else. And the University of Southern Mississippi actually has a graduate program in economic development. And this was 20 years ago. So this was kind of on the cutting edge, if you will. And I really studied this and said, you know, this looks like something I actually be more interested in than an MBA. And so I actually went back to school to get my master's in economic development, you know, and kind of made that choice, those two choices at the same time, actually.
That's amazing. And you actually got the girl.
I caught the girl. Yeah. Exactly.
How amazing is that? So I tell you, that was a success for you. Can you talk about the idea of leadership and the success that you've had as a leader? What's one lesson in leadership that you've experienced in your time in economic development that you think everyone could learn from?
Well, you know, leadership's a little bit of a tricky thing. It's a little bit hard to really kind of pin down what makes a great leader. I mean, and I guess people would point to me and say, you know, you've done such a great job in bringing organizations along and forming one-stop operations wherever you've been. I mean, I think it really gets down to being able to take a vision, whether it's, you know, your board's vision or community's vision, and being able to articulate that vision in a way that you're able to just bring disparate groups along and say, this is, you know, all that keeps all the arrows moving in one direction and accomplish what you set out to accomplish by building that consensus. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's not. And I think that's really kind of the essence of leadership, is being able to do that kind of work. And that's been my experience over and over and over again. So that's really kind of what I've learned over the years.
Well, it sounds like you've got a great team of people who work with you there in Northwest Arkansas. Tell us about the team of people you built.
This is a regional organization that goes back 25 years.
Sure.
And it was, for most of that 25 years, one individual.
Wow.
And it had a singular focus, and that was infrastructure. This organization is really unique because it's a private organization. It's the first private organization I've ever worked for. And it was founded by some pretty stout individuals. So you have Sam Walton and J.B. Hunt and Don Tyson, you know, three Fortune 500 founders, Fortune 1 being one of them. And that the expectations of that organization were pretty high. So, you know, this organization got an airport built, an interstate built, and several other large infrastructure projects. So they were very business climate focused. But when we took that turn 4 years ago to do regional economic development and some of the other initiatives, that's where I was brought on. And we started building a team around the plan. And so now we've got like six FTE here at the council, and we're focused on economic development, workforce development, infrastructure, community vitality, placemaking. And so we're doing a lot of different to build a better community here.
Sure. And how does that make your organization unique? I mean, being private obviously affords, you know, many things. But tell us more about the uniqueness of your organization.
I think it gives us a little bit more flexibility in a public-private partnerships. I mean, there are some advantages to public-private partnerships in my experience, in that when you got the public sector engaged or had skin in the game, you've got their buy-in, but you've also got accountability back to the taxpayers when you're doing some of that work. A private organization, though, does give you a little bit of additional flexibility if you're able to manage those relationships at the public level, because we work very closely with our cities here. If you're able to manage those relationships, I think it actually gives you a lot more flexibility to do some of the kind of advocacy that you need to get done to do things like get airports and interstate water systems and things like that built that you can't do, necessarily can do with public money. So
we've
got really the best of both worlds here, because we still have those founders, families, and CEOs that are on the board of this organization. So they have a tremendous amount of power stroke within the community, and we have great relationships with our public officials that allow us to do things that they ordinarily couldn't do. So it's really a best of both worlds situation set up here in Northwest Arkansas.
And with all those great things going on, with the kinds of board support that you have, which sounds like it's uniquely outstanding, what's keeping you up at night?
Well, you know, I don't really worry about Northwest Arkansas as much as I do the things that can affect us that are a little bit outside of our control. I mean, you know, we're one of the fastest growing organic markets in America. A lot of people don't know that about Northwest Arkansas. I mean, it's a juggernaut. I mean, we've doubled our population in the past 25 years. We've got some of the fastest wage growth and job growth in the country. You know, it's the black swans out there that really keep me up at night. You know, if you look at what's happening in Europe right now and in China, and just a lot of uncertainty in the world. And I guess the situation in 08 kind of woke me up to the fact that there's always kind of something lurking around the corner. And those are the types of things that keep me up at night, because that affects what you and I do.
No,
but we have no control over it, you know.
That's right.
So I guess that's unnecessarily worrying. But I guess it's also something in me that says, to scenario plan, if X, Y, and Z happen, how would we respond to it? You know, I guess that's the thinking I have.
Well, and that global thinking is critically important for the future of the industry, right? That somebody's got to be thinking about the interconnectivity of the global markets and how we're all really, as Dr. King would say, inextricably linked, right?
Together. Well, we are. I mean, we're in this thing together, whether we like it or not. Now,
that's right.
We've all been kind of locked at the hip, and I mean, I'm sitting here in the middle of the country, just like you are. But every day you deal with somebody like Walmart's corporate headquarters,
exactly.
A company with 2.2 million employees. You know, they got a really good grasp on what's going on around the world, and they're sitting right there on your board. You know, there's an expectation that you're going to be able to respond to things as they happen.
Well, I'm gonna have to get you off of here on this one, but I think this question is the question that economic developers are asking. So as you look into the future, with all that you understand about the globe, about economic development, about private funding and economic development, a soundboard, as you think about the future, what's the most important thing for communities and economic developers to focus on? What's the big issue?
Well, for us, and I think it's probably like this in a lot of places, it's people for us. I mean, it's human capital. So figuring out a way to develop that pipeline of workers, attract and retain the kind of talent you need to stay on top, to get on top, and doing the things that you need to do to accomplish that. So investing in your people, investing in your place to attract those people and keep those people. I know it sounds a little bit weird that, you know, a guy 20 years in, the old, you know, kind of smokestack chasing model, I feel like is dead. I just feel like, you know, industrial recruitment is, and I know this is almost sacrilege coming from an economic developer saying this, my focus is on entrepreneurs, existing business, and workforce. And I think if you can take care of business in your community,
yeah,
and create a strong business climate and have a strong, talented workforce, that the organic growth is going to outstrip anything inorganic any day of the week. In some communities may or may not have the luxury of doing that, but I'm just saying that I feel like that those prepared communities, those communities that are investing in their people and their place, are the ones who are going to win over the next 25 years. I just feel really strongly about that.
Michael, I wouldn't disagree with a word you said about
where we can go.
I think you hit it right on the head. I appreciate the work you're doing in Northwest Arkansas. I celebrate you for being one of, named by your peers, actually, one of North America's top 50 economic developers. And I look forward to hearing more about the great things you're going to do to help change our nation and our industry for the better. So thank you and congratulations.
All right, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.